This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com. Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. Visit PaniniAmerica.net today. You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated General Grabber ATX. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The Volume.
Colin Cowherd Podcast presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. No better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's a lot of reasons. It's America's number one sportsbook. Incredibly easy to use, super safe, totally secure, super fast payouts in as quick as 2 hours. You're not going to get that anywhere. Also, same game parlay bets, live betting. It's the best. Hey, if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I did it in 15 seconds. Get started now. Sign up. Please use the promo code Colin so they know we sent you. Please use the promo code Colin, C-O-L-I-N. FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up. This is Prime Cuts, the best of the Colin Cowherd podcast. Great week. Nick Wright, two-parter, was amazing. Talks about Draymond Green's criticism of him and the greatest poker story ever told. Also, New York Post columnist Ian O'Connor. His thoughts on the live golf war with the PGA. Mets-Yankee Subway Series. Is it happening? Are the Giants as poorly run as the Jets? But first, my top takes of the week. I want to talk about this for about 5 minutes. So timing is everything. And there are certain times in my life where I haven't worked well with people. And then later on in life, I do work well with people. If you've been in a relationship, maybe you're with your wife, and have you ever gotten into the discussion, oh my God, if we'd have met like when we were teenagers, we would have hated each other. But we met after college. We were both in our jobs. We fell in love. My wife and I always joke about that. We would not have worked in high school, but we were both divorced and it worked really well. We were at a cool place in our lives, more mature, probably a little vulnerable. And, you know, we clicked for the last 15 years. And I'm thinking about that story in The Athletic, that Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets are at an impasse. And I really do think LeBron and Kyrie work for each other now. So the thing to remember about both, and LeBron has always been highly calculated. Kyrie Irving had his best three-point shooting year ever. And if LeBron played two more games, he would have officially led the NBA in scoring. LeBron and Kyrie are not declining players. They're just not available as much as people would like. Anthony Davis and Westbrook are declining players. And remember LeBron's fear in Miami. Why did he bail on Dwayne Wade? because he feared he was getting old. Remember that right knee? Dwayne Wade could struggle on back-to-backs. He would give you about 3-4 games in a series, not 6 or 7. LeBron likes veteran players. But when he senses they're too old and getting banged up or declining, he has bailed on them. Go back to Cleveland. Go back to Miami. Go back to Cleveland again. Remember, Kyrie bailed on LeBron. LeBron didn't bail on Kyrie. So that's an important facet to remember. Brooklyn needs a big. Anthony Davis would be that. Lakers need off-ball shooting. Kyrie would answer that. Don't get caught up in Westbrook. He's irrelevant. Nobody really wants him. That's why he keeps bouncing around the league. But I think it is interesting to remember, if you look at LeBron's career, he doesn't like young players, and he bails on even friends who he feels become fragile. And I've been told twice by people inside the Lakers, LeBron is frustrated that Anthony Davis is declining and has aged very quickly. He peaked. Look at the numbers. Anthony Davis peaked about 4 years ago. He's never been the same player because he's never committed in the offseason. He had a quote a couple of weeks ago. He hasn't touched the ball from April. He hasn't touched the ball since April. And he's never committed in the weight room. So when the rumors come up about the Lakers interested in Kyrie, I don't think it's a coincidence. It's right after the Warriors win. And all of a sudden you see LeBron working out with Kevin Love. And you see discussions about the Lakers and Kyrie Irving. Just remember. Remember when the Eagles were a great band? And then in 1980, Don Henley and Glenn Frey broke up. Don Henley was asked, what are the chances of you guys ever getting back together? And he said, when hell freezes over. And then in 1994, they got back together. And their album was called Hell Freezes Over. And LeBron's at a point in his career where he is still great at initiating offense. The Lakers were second in the league last year, believe it or not, at getting open threes. They just didn't have anybody to hit them. And Kyrie Irving is coming off his best 3-point shooting percentage of his career. Just because you can struggle at one point, break up at one point, doesn't mean you don't work together later. I think Kyrie and LeBron need each other. LeBron's tired of AD. KD's tired of Kyrie. Makes a ton of sense to me. You know, there's some argument for sports people about what is a dynasty. The Spurs, Greg Popovich, Tim Duncan, never won back-to-back championships. And so many believe it was not a dynasty. Now, there's nothing in the definition of a dynasty that says you have to win back-to-back-to-back-to-back championships. But I do think occasionally when a team is successful for 8, 10, 12 years or more, it goes from a dynasty to an empire. And I think the Patriots, the Spurs, and now the Warriors have reached a point where they classify as an empire, which is empires don't last 3 years. Shaq and Kobe, 3 titles, together a few more years before, 1 year after, and they blow up. That's not an empire. That's 2 really talented guys that get together, win some championships, and wear each other out. The Miami Heat, the Heatles, their best year was year 2, darn good in year 3, declined and broke up after year 4. Am I supposed to be more impressed with that? I don't even think that compares to what the Warriors have built. Dynasties can be short. Empires never feel like they are. In fact, the Patriots had 2 dynasties within what I would call an empire. The Spurs had several championships over 12, 13 years. And I think that's what's impressive about the Warriors. They're greater than a dynasty. 4 titles, 8 years. 1 shot from 5 titles, 8 years. 1 shot and some injuries from 6 titles, 8 years. They will be favored again next year. And what they really are is the essence of the sport. Top down, smartest organization. Coach is a former player. The star wins as the number one or with KD as the number two. Three of their players have worked together for the entire span of it. I think Roger Federer, Serena Williams, that's not dynastic. That's an empire. They have created empires. Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, from courses to championships to speaking fees. That's beyond a dynasty. And it's very rare, but I think that's what Golden State has created, is that on so many levels, they are copied. You have a former player as a GM, as a coach, a diehard basketball fan, as an owner. They draft and develop at the height of the profession. And so when people say, well, you know, did they win here and did they win there? I don't think dynasty is the ultimate compliment. I mean, if you told me in my career what I could become, the highest compliment is an empire. I make money with gambling, podcasting, streaming, television, audio, subscription, advertising. That's far more impressive than having meteoric success briefly. An empire is when you have holdings. An empire is when you control many things. You're elite at scouting and coaching. You're elite at defense and shooting. You start looking, if you deep dive on the Warriors, like, unless you're in the Bay Area or a 5% or a diehard NBA fan, what they're doing now is phenomenal. They have, many believe, one of the best young big men, James Wiseman. He didn't play in the finals. One of the best athletic, twitchy, versatile defenders, Jonathan Kuminga. Didn't see him much, did you, in the playoffs? They have 6'5 Moses Moody from Arkansas. Highly dynamic. Is he the next Klay Thompson, but more athletic? So even the way they've developed this roster, people are trying to, for the last 8 years, not only figure the Warriors out, but draft and develop the way they do. This baseball season turned K's into cash, big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Okay, right now, new customers, step up to the plate, no sweat first bet, up to $1,000. Here it is. Sign up, place your first bet. FanDuel will give you, listen to this, up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. You get paid fast, it's safe and secure. Great promotions every day. No better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Always use the promo code Colin to get the deal. Get you started. It's called No Sweat First Bet, up to $1,000. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, and Louisiana. Permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 Arizona 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, and Virginia. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-877-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369 in New York, Tennessee. Redline 1-800-889-9789 Tennessee. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Bridgestone tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Bridgestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step, and you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. because, God, I can't stay where I am, like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, my buddy Nick Wright. First of all, I've got a crazy trade idea that I put on the air today.
Oh, I didn't see.
Okay. The Brooklyn Nets need defense and size. When you're in a conference with Giannis and Joel Embiid, you can't have Kevin Durant as the guy on the floor the last 6 minutes of a game making the stops. He's got to get buckets. The Lakers were second in the NBA in open threes, thanks to LeBron. They have no shooters. Kyrie acknowledged, it was my bad in Cleveland. I wasn't mature enough. Kyrie to LeBron, don't worry about Westbrook. Irrelevant. Nobody wants him. Let the contract bleed out. AD to KD. He needs a more chill personality, defense, a big. What he doesn't need is another shooter who doesn't really want to defend and wants the ball with a minute left. No. That AD's never wanted that pressure. AD defends. He's got size. You need it in the East. Remember, the East, you need bigs. You don't out West. I mean, the Suns are getting rid of DeAndre Ayton. The Warriors' big is Kayvon Looney. Most teams in the West, Jokic.
All right, Rudy Gobert could be on the move. It's just Jokic. So, Jokic is the only one.
Dallas now, their big is Christian Wood, who's a 6'9", rail-thin forward. So I'll throw that at you, is that it kind of makes some sense, right? Take Westbrook out. Nobody wants him eventually.
Okay, so here's the thing. So Brew actually said that to me off the air today.
Chris Broussard.
Chris Broussard said it off the air. Like, because we were in commercial break when that Shams Athletic story broke. And we were about to go on the air. And I was like, Shams is connecting the Lakers to it. And Brew just said offhanded. He was like, are they trading Anthony Davis? Because that's the only way they're getting him. And my response to you is, for that trade to happen, if I'm the Lakers, I need more. I don't know what the more is. I don't know that I want Patty Mills because he's so old. I don't know what the more is. I don't know if you have to work in another team, but I don't think I know you're down on AD, and obviously he's got injury issues and maybe some motivational
issues. And he's a declining player.
But he's still more valuable than Kyrie Irving.
Right.
He is still more valuable than Kyrie Irving, who has the same injury issues, far greater reliability issues, and he is not the two-way guy that Anthony Davis has proven to be. So that is a fascinating one, because can you win a title with LeBron and AD? Yes, we saw it. But you need the rest of the team to be really well formed. Can you win a title with LeBron and Kyrie? Not only did we see it, the rest of the team wasn't all that well formed, and you beat a damn juggernaut to win that title. That one is fascinating, but I would need more if I'm the Lakers. I can't trade AD straight up for Kyrie Irving, but it is a fascinating
thing. Remember this.
I'm trying to think. Hold on. Let me ask you this. Wait, let me ask you this. You said forget Westbrook. Now you want to get true wacky town, okay? I give you AD and Russ, and you give me Kyrie and Ben.
Take it in a second.
That I would do. Because that, it's like if you, now you are, as flawed as Ben is, he's far more valuable than Russ. No question about it. And if you're the Nets, that's the cost. The taxes. And by the way, you've never seen Ben Simmons play and the Russ contract is expiring. That, if I'm the Lakers, that one I do. Oh, that's an interesting one.
How about this?
That one. And I think the contracts work Oh, that one, that would be one of the biggest NBA trades ever.
Okay. So I said this in the preamble to you. LeBron has a history. He even bailed on D-Wade once he was physically vulnerable. Kyrie is not declining. Had his best three-point shooting year ever. AD is. Look it up. Peaked 3 to 4 years ago. His field goal percentage is points. He had a terrible shooting year. LeBron.
He shot 18% from three. Yeah. I don't know how it wasn't a bigger story. 18%.
Yeah.
Like, which is impossibly bad. It was in the discussion for the worst three-point shooting year by any player ever. But go ahead.
So Kyrie's not a declining player. LeBron plays two more games. He wins the NBA scoring title. He's declining in availability. He is not declining in the ability to get baskets. LeBron knows. LeBron gets the most out of everybody. Kyrie acknowledged, we broke up. My bad. I was immature. So LeBron has bailed on his best friend, D-Wade. Remember D-Wade at the end? He would struggle. Yeah. He needed like 4 days rest for his right knee.
Of course.
Chris Bosh, great player, great guy, good friend. Had health issues. LeBron will bail on a friend if he feels they're declining. Kyrie's not available, but he's not declining. He is still the best small finisher in the sport.
It is a fascinating one, Colin. I've been talking since December. At first, it was a little tongue in cheek, a little serious. When the Nets weren't playing Kyrie at all, when it was looked like they were going to get zero games out of him, and we knew he had this contract coming up, and the Russ thing clearly wasn't working, I said in December, Russ for Kyrie. I was like, you guys, people can say that sounds ridiculous, but if you're going to get zero games out of him and then he's going to walk, he's worth zero. At least see if Russ reunited with Kevin Durant. This was when they still had Harden, keep in mind. You know what I mean? The Nets had Harden and KD. I was like, it might be worth a try if you're Brooklyn. And then it just seems to be more and more slow momentum towards a Kyrie and LeBron reunion. It does seem like that, because now I do understand here is where the Nets have to be careful, because this is not a situation like Ben Simmons asking out with 4 years left on his deal. This is not an Anthony Davis asking out even with 1 year left on his deal. This is a player who can be a free agent in Kyrie Irving right now. So if the Nets are like, we're not going to help you out and send you to the Lakers, he can opt out, be a free agent, and sign anywhere he wants. And I know people are like, oh, only the bad teams have cap space. Man, the Lakers can't clear up the cap space without trading Russ. But other teams can clear up cap space. The Clippers could find a way to get Kyrie Irving quickly. Yeah. The Knicks could easily clear up the cap space to sign him outright. And if you're the Nets, if Kyrie goes to you and says, I want you to find a way to trade me to Team X. And if you don't, I am opting out and I'm not asking for a trade anywhere. I am signing with the Knicks. Can you deal with that if you're the Nets, of losing Kyrie Irving to the fucking Knicks across the bridge for nothing? I don't think you can. Yeah. So I don't think the Nets have leverage the way most people think they do. The Blazers have leverage. Like, I don't know if they would use it if Dame were to, because Dame's been such a good citizen and such a great teammate, but he's under contract, right? The Lakers have leverage with Anthony Davis. He's under contract. The Nets have no leverage with Kyrie because he's not under contract if he opts out. And that's immediate.
It's interesting.
It's interesting. I like it. Yeah, I like it a lot. I like it a lot. That's a good one, Colin.
Okay, so let's pivot. So Draymond Green called Nick out. I want to run the piece of video we have. We'll start with this. Let's roll the tape on Draymond Green, very popular podcast that happens to be on this network, The Volume. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Nick Wright comes out and say, Steph Curry's, that's it. He'll never see the finals again. And Andrew Wiggins, 3 years, $95 million left on his deal. Why would they go do that worst trade and blah, blah, blah? I hope you're willing to stand on that word, brother. Stand on that and tell us why you thought that. Tell us why you thought that. Tell us why this whole series you've been yapping and yapping, and then all of a sudden you want to switch to the Dubs. Tell us why. Because what's in question is your basketball knowledge.
Okay, Nick, it is interesting because obviously I defend Draymond. I thought he was so good in the last couple of games of the series. He was so Draymond. He was such a catalyst. I always argued that the great teams have always had players who know exactly what they are. Manu Ginobili came off the bench. He would have started for 27 teams. He knew exactly what he was. Pippen knew exactly what he was. So did Ron Harper. Harper averaged 20 a game for the Clippers when he came over. But that's not what they needed from him. The great teams have these players that could score more, that could do more. Now, Draymond's not a great scorer. But I've always felt he is the bouncer with the nightclub. And that he controls his emotions more than people think he does. And that his job is to be a more skilled Rodman. He's trying to be annoying. And I really think,
of course,
I think it really, really works, because when he goes to more skilled players and disrupt them like he did with Jaylen Brown, I thought it was incredibly important. So that's why I argue guys like Draymond historically have immense value.
All that's true. So I want to, there's a lot of stuff here I want to address. I'm going to do it in reverse order. Everything you said is true. It is also true that through four finals games, he was having arguably the worst finals of any future Hall of Famer ever. through four games. The first game was, by Basketball Reference's game score metric, the worst playoff game of his life. His second game was, I thought he was actually kind of good. That was a game where he was totally unhinged, insane in it.
Yeah.
The third game was the worst game of his life by that same metric. His fourth game, he was so bad, his mother called him out on Twitter and his coach benched him. Game five, he was really good in the first half. In the second half, he had four fouls, fouled out, took zero shots. And then in game six, he was excellent. He was excellent. He was on both ends of the court. That's Draymond. That's a fair reading of Draymond Green's NBA finals. Okay? That's the finals. Now we go, you know, we open up the aperture, as my buddy Kevin Wilds would say. Draymond Green's he called himself the greatest defensive player ever. That's nonsense. Is he one of the three greatest defensive players of his era? Without a doubt. Is he a future Hall of Famer? Without a doubt. Is he, in my opinion, more important than Klay Thompson has been in this Warriors dynastic run? It is close, but yes. Because I think you can find in this league a shooter more easily than you can find a guy who's going to do all the little shit Draymond does on offense. The offense has gone away this year, but he scored 32 in game seven of the finals. Dude had 32, 15, and 9, or 10 and 9 in game seven of the finals that they lost to LeBron. He used to be able to score the basketball. And his passing is great. And he's a good, at times, great defender now. There was a three-year stretch where he was the most devastating defender in basketball. He won one Defensive Player of the Year, finished second the two other years to Kawhi Leonard. I came on your show before I even had my own show and said Draymond was the best defender in basketball. So all that's true about his career, right? He is not the rebounder Rodman was, but he is a better offensive player than Rodman was. Modern Rodman is a great comp, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Now to what Draymond said about me. Here's one of the reasons you and I get along, Colin. In addition to the many things that we have in common, here is maybe one of the most important. We are two of the only members of the media that understand what's good for the goose and good for the gander. We make our living making bold proclamations, talking a little bit of shit, taking a little time, at times pointed jabs, and trying to literally predict the future. You don't do the predict the future stuff as much as I do, but you do some of it. Everything about picking a game or a champion is predicting the future, which, by the way, not possible. You can have informed speculation. And you and I understand that occasionally we're going to have big swings and crush it over the fence. And occasionally, not only are we going to miss the ball, bat's going to fly out of our hand and hit the old lady in the front row, and people are going to bring that shit up for a couple years. And you got to take it. My Andrew Wiggins take that is gone international at this point. I was getting tweets in Hebrew. It was on K-pop TikTok. Okay. It has gone international for being a bad take. I was wrong. Draymond said, so there's my issue with what Draymond said. Draymond said, I hope you stand on it. If I were to talk to Draymond, I would say, what do you mean by stand on it? Like, do you mean by admit I said it? Like, not say that's a deep fake? Okay, I will stand on that. Are you saying, I hope you still believe that? Of course I don't still believe that. I was wrong. Like, Andrew Wiggins played better than I expected him to. I said they wouldn't ever make the finals. They just won the championship. So I can't stand on that part of the take. What I said wouldn't happen did happen. So I just missed on it. And that happens. The only frustration I have is not directed at Draymond, because Draymond is new media. And by the way, Draymond, I'm not sure where they teach new media classes, but if you're going to be in new media, you should probably get some of the stuff right. Like when you say, oh, and now you want to switch your pick to the Warriors. No, my friend, it was actually worse than that. I picked the Warriors, then I switched my pick to Boston. So I was wrong, but you were wrong in your new media about what I was wrong about. Okay, but here is what is frustrating to me. My colleagues, not like Wilds and Brew, but like general colleagues, sports media, who have shared that 2.5-year-old Andrew Wiggins clip. When you know how I know that's an old clip? Because I don't have hair and I'm in the studio. It's been 2.5 fucking years since I've been in the studio since I had a shaved head. So it's an old clip. But folks pretending that what I said there wasn't mostly consensus opinion really irks me. Yeah. Andrew Wiggins was considered a huge miss and the worst contract in sports. Now, the Warriors, to their credit, saw something I didn't. And that's why Bob Myers makes the big bucks. But the idea that I was the only person criticizing the Andrew Wiggins trade is so ahistorical. But I said this on TV today, and I'll say it again. I hope everyone has their old TikToks ready to send this to me in 2025. I saw the odds, championship odds for your beloved Warriors. They're the favorites to repeat. Man, get out of here. They are not winning the title next year. And by the way, everyone should send, everyone associated with the Warriors should send edible arrangements and bouquets to Chris Middleton, thanking him for being hurt. Because if he doesn't get hurt, the Bucks kick the shit out of everybody. Nobody was beating Milwaukee. Giannis, everyone, I love people are like, Boston gave Giannis trouble. They did. He averaged 35 and 15. I don't think they gave him that much trouble. There's my rant. There's my answer to Draymond. And by the way, since you're his boss, can you tell him I would like to come on the Draymond Green Show?
Okay.
And I will stand on it. Tell him that I will come on the show. We can share some Lobos tequila. We're both clutch clients. Mav can be the moderator. We have a lot of things in common. He's got a chirpy mother. I've got a chirpy wife. We've got some things that we can see eye to eye on, and we can discuss whatever he wants.
He's actually.
Okay, tell him.
I will. He's actually. He's very coachable. People wouldn't, you wouldn't suspect that being a rich, $100 million net worth star. He's as coachable as any athlete I've ever had. He's constantly saying, don't tell me how good I am. What do I got to get better at? Which is such a redeemable quality for anybody.
Well, then
anybody.
You should tell him to take that invisible backpack off when he's taking 3-pointers. That's what you should tell him. Be like, hey, Draymond. That little white rock you have on your back when you're shooting threes, you pretend it's not there.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Kumho tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Kumho test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team. A driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with Season 2, because as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for Season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to Season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Well, he's somebody I've admired, read, and respected for a long time. You know him as Ian O'Connor. Of course, New York Post columnist. Two of my favorite sports books ever are Belichick and Coach K, The Rise and Reign of Mike Krzyzewski. But he also wrote another book, which I haven't read, but it's fitting with our first topic today. Arnie, Jack, Palmer, and Nicklaus and Golf's Greatest Rivalry. And the PGA was so pristine and so beloved, but the world has changed. Lots of platforms, globalization. Somebody eventually was going to throw a lot of money at golfers. This is what UFC did to boxing. They were a disruptor. Boxing was based on greed and too many weight classes and promoters driving the sport. Can I not argue, if we get out of the blood money conversation for a second, is that The PGA is simply an organizational arm. These are not employees. They're independent contractors. The PGA doesn't run the Masters, Ryder Cup, U.S. Open, PGA Championship, British Open, the stuff most people watch. And that this was bound to happen among globalization, Amazon, Apple, Saudi money, and that we don't like where the money's coming from, but the PGA, which is a charity, these are independent contractors, some sort of similar situation, the PGA was really vulnerable. Greg Norman's been pushing back for 20 years. Tiger's had disagreements. Mickelson's been complaining for a decade. That's where I find myself, Ian. If you get out of the blood money argument for a second, that PGA put themselves in a bad space. They've had grumbling golfers for 20 years.
Well, Colin, even beyond 20 years, I remember when Greg Norman was threatening to start a tour back in the 90s and to compete against the PGA Tour. And without question, when you look at Tiger Woods starting a tournament in his prime with no guaranteed money, starting a season on the PGA Tour with no guaranteed money, nothing more than the 126th guy in the field, at some point, somebody was going to present a model where the stars were paid up front. And it was inevitable. It happened. I actually agree with you 100%. The PGA Tour has put itself in position to be challenged like this. Now, nobody loves where the money is coming from. But at some point, that conversation will taper off. And it's going to be the NFL against the USFL. And I think, who knows who's going to win this one? Because I think the more name players that LIV takes away from the PGA Tour, that obviously hurts the depth of the PGA Tour fields. And in that sport, really the three players that matter most now are Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas. They don't play every week. So you do need the Brooks Koepkas and the Bryson DeChambeaus and Patrick Reeds to fill out fields for people to come and watch. And those players are now leaving, and I think they'll continue to leave, and this is going to be a serious threat to the PGA Tour long term.
Listen, you cover golf extensively. I just read Alan Shipnuck's book on Phil Mickelson, a wildly colorful character. We know about the gambling losses, but I've always felt Phil's his own sort of platform. He's his own business, and I look at him like a Peyton Manning, who's eventually going to sell that Omaha production company, probably do a network for hundreds of millions of dollars. Phil's not as viable as a golfer. He would have gone into broadcasting or created his own media company. I think I'm less surprised about Phil Mickelson, who has very little runway left. I mean, were you shocked by him doing this?
No. I wasn't shocked by it. I disagree, certainly, with his decision to do it. And as I wrote in a column a couple of weeks ago, Phil and Greg Norman sort of deserve each other. They've been full of you-know-what for a long time. And Mickelson is a great player. He's probably going to go down among the top 12, maybe 10 players of all time. And he knows he's not going to win anymore. He pulled that PGA Championship last year out of a hat. And so his winning days are over. He owes, obviously, a lot in gambling losses. He's talked openly about that being a problem for him for years that he's tried to work on. So I'm not surprised that he did that. I think the bigger threat is a guy like, or even two guys, really, but DeChambeau and Koepka. Those are the players that the PGA Tour have to worry about because they're in their prime. When DeChambeau was healthy, Colin, he arguably was the best player in the world. If he gets healthy again, and if Koepka gets healthy again, these are guys who can win majors. Now, will the majors allow them in? I think so. I think they should, as much as I'm opposed to taking the blood money. I wouldn't go as far as banning these players from major championships. And as you noted, the PGA Tour has no control over those championships.
So there's our football season still about 6 weeks away before we kind of jump into it. And obviously, baseball, both the Yankees and Mets, who have spent freely, are doing very well. And I'll come back to baseball in a second, the New York scene. But, you know, for years and years, I've understood the Bears and the Lions and Washington and Houston weren't well run. I understood the Jets weren't well run and Stephen Ross had chaos in his organization. The head scratcher for me has always been the Giants. I've always called them the accounting firm of the NFL. Even when they won, they were boring. Even in good years, nobody wanted to talk about them. Almost as a rule, Ian, if you look at the bad teams in this league, some have good quarterbacks, some have good coaches, some have interesting rosters. Cleveland, Jets, Houston, it's all ownership. It's shaky front offices. It's chaos upstairs. I always thought the Maras were well equipped to handle speed bumps. I look at them now, and maybe this is hyperbolic, I almost insert the Giants into the circus category of the league. How are they perceived in New York?
I think they were a bit of a joke under Dave Gettleman. How the Mara family, John Mara and the Tishes, ever agreed to hand over their multi-billion dollar franchise to him is beyond me. Joe Shane is a different story. I think there's a sense now that the Giants have a plan finally and a guy who can build a program in place. And really, over the years, they've been helped greatly by good general managers, George Young, Ernie Accorsi, Jerry Reese, stabilize that franchise. And nobody was calling John Mara a bad owner in 2007 through 2011, right, when he won two Super Bowls. And really in 2008, that was their best team. Coughlin, Tom Coughlin told me later, they would have won it all if Plaxico Burress didn't accidentally shoot himself. So he was a good owner when he had a good head coach and a good quarterback. They didn't have that in recent years. And so he's been a bad owner. And right now, we'll find out if Brian Daboll is a good coach and if he can turn Daniel Jones into a good quarterback. He obviously has the athletic and physical tools to be that. But let's see. This is his final year to get that done. But the Giants, because of the tradition going back into the 50s and 60s and Sam Huff and Frank Gifford, and they do hold a place in the market that the Jets really don't. And obviously, as you know, the Jets haven't been to the Super Bowl since man stepped on the moon. It's a phrase I like to use quite a bit. And Joe Douglas has given them a bit of a chance here. He had a really, really good draft by all accounts. And it all comes down to whether or not Zach Wilson is the real thing or if they'll be searching for another quarterback in a year or two. So, but New York football, I have to say, it's been miserable in this market, Colin, when both teams are out of it by Halloween. When the Yankees and Mets are done, particularly the Yankees, then you turn to football and they're done by Halloween. It's bleak. So I would welcome just one of those two franchises to become relevant again, because it just makes column writing in this market a whole lot more interesting.
Well, football has by and large taken over virtually every market in the country, including Boston, where the Patriots reign, sort of put, let's be honest, the Red Sox in the back seat of that sedan for many years. But New York's an exception. Steve Cohen goes from Wall Street and has bought Scherzer, Lindor, a great roster. Okay, it was already potentially good. He pays for Buck Showalter. They go get it. They go get Max Scherzer. They had DeGrom. They had some pieces in place. You can't do that in the NFL. Dave Tapper buys Carolina. They're still a mess. It just doesn't work that way. But in baseball, if you look at the best teams right now, it's the biggest market in the South, Atlanta, the two New York teams, the Dodgers, the biggest market in Canada, Toronto. It's Houston. It's major cities. The bottom of the sport is Kansas City, Cincinnati, Oakland. It's low payrolls. So you can buy your way into baseball. But here's what's interesting. I find the Mets more fascinating than the Yankees. The Yankee story is great pitching and the long ball. But I went and watched three of the four Mets games against the Dodgers, and they're doing it without Scherzer and DeGrom. It's power. It's defense. It's managing. I feel like New York is one of the last cities in the country where baseball is still king. And judging by social media, I know the Yankees have the championships, but there's a special place. There's an underdog thing with the Mets from the outside that feels different than the Giants and the Jets, that there's a big chunk of the city that's into the Mets. And I look at the construct of their team, and I'm not some baseball expert. I think they're kind of built for the postseason. I really do. Your interpretation of what you're seeing with the Mets, to be not fully staffed and to go out west and to really compete late innings, beat teams like the Dodgers. I watched those games. It was pretty impressive. I thought coming out of the weekend, they were the better team.
Last year, the Mets were in first place for nearly 3 months. Louis Rojas was doing a really good job as a rookie manager, and I think he'll be good. He's young when he gets a second chance. He's now with the Yankees. But the team unraveled after DeGrom went down, other injuries, and it got away. It's not going to unravel under Buck Showalter. He's seen too much. He's been a good manager in baseball for too long, and that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a Buck Showalter team. I talked to Glenn Sherlock, longtime bench coach, been in the game forever recently, and he said the only manager he's ever seen who runs every defensive meeting and drill, he's like a Belichick, is Buck Showalter. In spring training, during the season, Showalter is on top of every defensive drill and meeting, and the Mets catch the ball. They do things you haven't seen them do in the past, and they aggressively run the bases and put pressure on the defense to make a play, and I haven't seen the Mets do that in recent years. And there is a feeling in New York, and I remember even back to 86 when they won it all with that great team, that New York became a Mets town. It can be a Mets town again. That is possible.
Yeah, I feel it can.
And it was unanimous among Mets fans. My wife is a person who lived and died with the Mets, or died and died with the Mets every night for decades. So I usually watch about 130, 140 Mets games a year because of that. And it's just, for the first time, they hired a manager that was received unanimously as the right pick. And they have an owner for the first time who has a George Steinbrenner budget and stomach for the fight. They've wanted that for so long to have their own Steinbrenner. He's more like George Steinbrenner than Hal Steinbrenner. So for the Mets to have that now, the manager that you believe in, an owner that you know will pay to correct mistakes and add to the roster to win, instead of to win it all, instead of maybe losing in the first round, to go out and get Scherzer. Yeah, I think they can win it all. Right now, if the Mets and Yankees met in the World Series, Colin, I think it would be the same result as 2000. I think the Yankees win in five. But if you get Scherzer back and DeGrom can stay healthy, which I'm still shaky on, I think Scherzer will be there in October. I just don't know about DeGrom. But if those two guys do stay healthy, wow, they certainly have a chance to win it all.
You know, Steve Cohen, again, a Wall Street guy that stepped in, was a passionate Mets fan. There's been, to say the least, some dubious ownership in New York. James Dolan, head of the class, Woody Johnson, Johnson family, not great. Cohen appears to be received. Now, some of it's just the success, but he seems to listen to the fans. Like, he is, it feels like to me, he's actually a fan, just a really wealthy one. What's your interpretation of him?
A really wealthy fan, no question. Grew up loving the Mets. I think if you look at his business background and becoming a hedge fund zillionaire, certainly didn't always treat people nicely in his business world. And I think that's been documented. So I don't think he comes in as this knight in shining armor in one sense. And in another, he is, because Mets fans, honestly, all they care about is that they have someone who is as invested as they are in the final result and is willing to be, to have the top payroll in baseball. And they've just wanted an owner to compete with George Steinbrenner. And now they have one who would have done that if George were still with us, and is willing, I think, probably to do more than Hal Steinbrenner. And that's what they care about. I think Cohen is a very interesting guy who, right, he acts and feels like a fan. It seems like when they lose, he feels it like a fan does.
Yes.
And you know, at times that can be a dangerous thing, too. But the Mets fan wants that. They want an owner who cares as much as they do. I know they didn't feel that with Fred Wilpon, and now they get it with Steve Cohen. And it's a powerful asset to have as you try to win a championship for the first time since 86. And I know Mets fans are thrilled to have that on their side.
Volume.
Make sure to check out the Draymond Green Show. I brought Draymond Green into the volume because one of the more entertaining voices in sports, unique perspective, understands behind the rope, also chops up with guests like Gary Payton, Zach LaVine, Tracy McGrady. Make sure, download the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts, only on the Volume Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.